welcome you this morning. Pastor Ron and wife Mary Lou are off the island this weekend, and so we're praying that they have a good time of restoration and relaxing in what they are involved in. We are going to be taking the next several weeks and being going through the video teaching on the best blessed life by Robert Morris from the Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas. Each year we take a group of about 15 or so of our church leaders there, and it's just a very powerful time of his teaching there, of just different things of how we build up the Church of God today. We're kind of at a crucial time in our church. We had our church meeting 2 weeks ago where we reviewed what God had done over this past year and kind of laid out our vision for what God was having us do for this year to come. And it just struck me as we were together of just what a blessed church we are here. We are a small church, which is even more evident today, but we're a small church. We have about 110 members on the books. We have about, between the two services on Sunday morning, about 80 to 100 regular attenders coming each week. And we're pretty typical of most of the churches in America as far as that size. And like those churches, we do the normal things of having Sunday services, of having Sunday school, of childcare downstairs, of having Bible studies taught, and supporting missionaries here and around the world. And yet, it's such a blessing of God has chosen to do some amazing things through this little church. And so just as we met 2 weeks ago, and as we're going through a time where we're really trying to put together our vision and seeing what each of our part is in that, just remind some of you of just those things we talked about 2 weeks ago. Scott was just praying about Darlene. She's just finishing up her time in Haiti. And just to realize that a few years ago, when the big earthquake happened in Haiti, Darlene felt that call to go and see what she could do. And we are struggling just, I think, to figure out how she could get there with an airline ticket and some supplies to help. And then in this last year, funneled through this church, about $80,000 was funneled through this church to that mission work that Darlene is doing in Haiti. And she's spending, which is sad for some of us, and Scott especially, I think, she's gone most of the time. I mean, a lot of the time. She's been gone for several months now, connected with other churches. And most of that money isn't coming from us directly. It's coming from other people, people in this church that are giving more and above, and then people around the country giving. I think of John and the prison ministry that started a few years ago as, unfortunately, from our standpoint, one of the people that grew up in our church ended up in prison, but while he was there, came to that renewed faith in Jesus Christ that he had experienced here. And he called out to John and said, is there any way you could help us with Bibles, with anything? And God has taken that. And through people in this church that go and visit those in prison, and then through other organizations, I think we had between $10,000 and $15,000 again funneled through this church. Again, not directly from us, but from other organizations seeing what we're doing and say we want to do that. Very humbling. We have a number of just anonymous benefactors who love this church. Some of them are in this town and some of them are other places. And they have just said to us, hey, if there are needs, let us know and we'll work with that. And so when we finally had rain last year and the toddler room and the nursery roofs caved in, we went to those people and said, hey, we're in need. And it's like, what's that going to cost? And like, well, like $15,000. And they said, we'll take care of that. And as we look towards the bathrooms and as we look towards the ministry house next door and the vision for that, these people over and above what they normally give wherever they're giving or just giving because they see the vision of this church, well over $100,000 has been given to repair the ministry house, to repair downstairs, to do things that we could never do on our own. And so we are humbled by that. We are blessed by that. God has his hand here and he says, we're going to do something special through this little church on Catalina. And in these last few years, we've really reached out just feeling that vision of God, and it's been at great risk as we realized as our population has gone to being in large part Hispanic, and a large part of those Hispanic only speak that Spanish language, that we reached out to find a Spanish-speaking missionary pastor and his wife, Julio and Lupita, who could willing to move to this town and use our facility to start a Spanish church here. And right now, they're having the first time they're doing a marriage conference and a women's conference here at our church. They brought in a speaker from the mainland, and downstairs I went, they had it all set up as a big banquet. You can just be praying for them as that's ongoing. They meet Sunday nights and Thursdays. But God is doing great things through that. But that was a step, and again, people have raised up to say, we'll support that. We'll support that mission. And then probably one of the biggest challenges that we've taken in these last couple years is after 7 years of working as great tent makers, Andrew and Shelley Hobbs in town, both of them working full-time jobs, being called to ministry here, but a little over a year ago really feeling like, man, we never need to make a new service at our church, which will be an outreach service. Are you guys willing to give up one of your Sunday morning services and have that be outreach to the unchurched, outreach to the people that weren't raised here, to a new generation coming up? But that's going to take us coming on full time. We really need to do more with youth, with up at the high school. And so we as a church have taken that on to bring them on full time, and they're still getting support from their church back in Florida and others. But we've taken those steps of reaching out, and that's not coming from outside the sources. That's really coming from we as a congregation, from we as the people that are sitting here on the pews. And so as we're kind of coming off that annual meeting, as we're looking into this new year, we want each of us to reflect of what is our part in our time, in our talents, in the treasure that God has given us. What is God calling us to give to continue the work in this town? God is doing great things, but there are great, great needs here. No one speaks to this better than Robert Morris, and that's why every couple years, and in this case, we did this about a year ago, but he just teaches so well on what our heart needs to be of giving back to God. And it's so easiest for us to feel that our time and our treasure and our talents are ours, but they're really all from God, as we just sung about. And for all that he's done to us, for us to recognize that and give to him. And so we're just praying for you that are regularly here, that you'll just be praying over these weeks of where God would have you involved in working, in helping out, and in sharing with that. For those that are guests here, we pray that you enjoy this great teaching. No pressure on you as we talk about this. And hopefully you'll be blessed by this teaching and can say, wow, what an interesting church. God bless those people there. So let's hear from Robert Morris this morning.
All right, we're beginning a new series called The Blessed Life. And I want you to understand that the church is now, this Easter, will be 15 years old. And about every 3 years, I preach this series. This is my life message. This series came about because James Robinson and his team asked me if I would come on their program and teach on giving, because I teach give to give, not give to get. And they said it's the most balanced message we've ever heard. And could you write a book? If a lot of people would like to read and not just listen to the CDs or the tapes, you know. And I said, sure. When do you need the book? They said about a month. And so I went away and dictated The Blessed Life in 3 days in a tape recorder. Because it's been in my heart for years. It's been something Debbie and I've been living, and I've been preaching and teaching for years. The Blessed Life now, the book, millions of copies. I've been told 30-something languages around the world. I've given all the royalties away to this book. We've been blessed from other books. You know that. I don't ever try to hide that from you, that we've been very blessed financially from royalties. But we all, this book, we the first one, we gave it to the Lord. Matter of fact, all the royalties have come to Gateway Church. And so it's just God uses it all over the world. Here's the reason, because there's truth in this book that will change your life. I promise you. And it'll change your marriage. And it'll change your family. And it'll change your health. And it'll change your relationships. And it'll change your job. It'll change your life. It's a blessed life, not a blessed pocketbook or a blessed wallet. It's a blessed life. So that's what we're going to do for the next 7 weeks. I will preach six of these. Pastor Jimmy Evans will preach one of them. All right? So look here at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, I just want to ask you a simple question. Is the word money anywhere in those two verses? No. And the context is judging. Don't judge, or you'll be judged. Okay? Now, I want us to commit to short-term memory, the first phrase and the last phrase. And I'd like for you to just say it after me. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Great. This is all the campuses and all the churches by simulcast, all right? And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Say that. Now flip over to Luke 6, okay? Now let's say them one more time. Judge not, and you will not be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, look at the first sentence of verse 37, Luke 6, 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. No, you don't have to say it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, though. Okay. And then look at the last sentence of verse 38. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, I want you to understand this is the parallel passage, but I want to show you a verse in the middle that, in my opinion, many times the context is not understood. Okay, so Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now look at verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, let me just make a statement, and this might shock you. The word money does not appear in those verses. And yet, most of the time, when we hear Luke 6:38, we think about money. As a matter of fact, when we think about the word give, we think money. I was being interviewed by a magazine a while back, and they said, "How often do you preach on giving?" And I said, "Every week." They said, "You preach on giving every week?" And I said, "Yes." I think what you meant to ask me was, "How often do I preach on giving money?" And that's about every 3 years. Every 3 years, I do a series on stewardship and generosity. But you didn't ask me how often to preach on giving money. You asked me how often to preach on giving. I can't preach on grace and not talk about giving, because God so loved the world, He... I can't preach on marriage and not preach on giving, because a marriage will not work if you're not givers, if both people aren't givers. And again, not finances, now giving. You understand what I'm saying? This applies to every area of our life. That's what we have to understand. Giving is about the heart. Here's the title of the message. I should have given it to you earlier, but the title is, "It's All About the Heart." It's all about the heart. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Some people say, "Well, you know, they're after my money." Let me explain something to you. Yes, God is after your, not the church. God is after your money, because He's after your heart. And your heart is connected to your wallet. I guarantee you, I've seen it. There's a string from your heart to your wallet. Because I've watched people, when they start to reach back, oh, it just, it hurts. If God can get your wallet, listen to me, He can get your heart. And I'm not the one that said it. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart follows your treasure. You put your treasure in a stock, you put some money in a stock, you'll start going on the internet checking to see how that stock's doing, and you never checked it before. And you never cared about it before, but you care about it now because your treasure's there. Are you following me? You want your treasure in the kingdom? You want your heart in the kingdom? You put your treasure in the kingdom. Okay, so it's a heart issue because he's talking in these verses about judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. Don't judge or you'll be judged. Don't condemn or you'll be condemned. And then he says forgive and you'll be forgiven. And then he says give. Okay, what's he saying though? Give judgment and judgment will be given back to you. And here's the part I don't hear a lot of preaching on. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give judgment back to you. For with the same measure you give judgment, you'll get judgment back. That's the context of these verses. Judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. Now, you can apply it to other areas because of the laws of sowing and reaping. If you give a seed, you don't just get back one seed. You get back a tree or a plant with many seeds. And that's the way God is. So whatever you give, you're going to get more back. So it'd be better to give good things than bad things because you're going to get more of it back, whatever it is. I was counseling with a lady one time, and she was a single mother, and she didn't have anywhere to leave her kids. And so she brought her kids, and we just let them. I said, please come anyway. And she just left them with my assistant. We left the door open there, and I was talking to her. And here's literally this what she said. She said, my kids yell at me. She said, they yell at me. I don't know why. And then she did this. Y'all stop talking out there. I don't know why they yell at me. I said, Luke 6:38, give yelling, and yelling will be given back to you. Good measure, Preston. Okay, all right. Now, if you can flip Deuteronomy 15, how are you going to develop a heart of generosity? Well, way back Deuteronomy 15, God tells us what we need to do, four things we need to do, because it's all about the heart, all right? So Deuteronomy 15, look at verses 7 and 8. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you. Notice God's giving you the land, by the way. Notice the word giving. You shall not harden your heart. It's about your heart. Nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly, that would be about your heart, lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Okay, so there are four things that we need to do if we're going to become generous givers. Here's number one. Deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a selfish heart. Look at verse 9. Deuteronomy 15, verse 9. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. Notice heart again. Saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become sin among you. Notice selfishness is wickedness in God's eyes, and it becomes sin. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, now, when your brother comes and asks to borrow from you, you open your hand and willingly lend to him. You open your heart to him. But don't let there be this wicked or selfish thought in you that says, man, this is the year of Jubilee. That means all debts will be canceled. In other words, if he came and said, hey, I need to borrow some money. My crops were bad this year. And you thought, you know what? 6 more months is the year of Jubilee. If he can't pay me back in 6 months, then I have to cancel this debt. See, God implemented an economic system where all debts were canceled every 7 years. How many of you would like to re-implement that economic system? Okay. So if you thought, you know, I'm not going to do this because he might not be able to pay me back. You know what God said? Don't do that. Don't think that way. And here's what he called it. He calls selfishness wickedness. He's telling the people of Israel, this, I don't want you to do this. I want you to be generous like I'm generous. Yeah, let me ask you a question. I asked a Bible college class this one time. Why did God create giving? You ever thought about that? Because God did. It's all through God's word. So why did God invent or create giving? And the overwhelming answer was to support his work. And I said to them, and I want you to think about this. I said to these college students, I said, do you really think? I want you to think about this, because it's funny to me. Do you really think that God needs your money to support his work? I mean, is the light bill, in heaven, too big for God? They running out of gold for the streets. I mean, cattle on 1,000 hills. He's running out of cow. I mean, you know what? God needs you. No, listen, God did not create giving for his sake. He created giving for your sake. Giving, more than any other activity that a believer does, works selfishness and greed out of our lives. This is why I don't like much of the preaching I hear on giving, because it's give to get. Giving you'll get, giving you'll get. And let me tell you what that does. It actually works selfishness and greed back in your life. And how do you think God feels? When a preacher preaches, giving you'll get, giving you'll get, and people say, well, I want to get, so I'm going to give. I wonder if God is thinking, well, this is great. All of my people are catching the revelation of getting. No, we need to catch the revelation of giving. Now, I do want to say, it drives selfishness out of our lives. We have to deal with a selfish heart. I do want to just say, just for a moment, ladies, that there's an area of selfishness that men never grow out of. I just want you to know, okay? We do not want to share our food. And for some reason, you want our food. And I don't understand it. And we do not want to share our food. The very first time, Pastor Tom and Jan Lane, sitting on the front row, Jan said, I knew you were going to say this, sitting right there. The very first time I went to dinner with them, we were going around the table ordering. I ordered, and Jan said, oh, good, I've been wanting to try that. I never even met the woman, and she wanted to eat off my plate. And I said, well, you better order some, because that's the only way you're going to get any. Think about it. Come on. What does every woman say when you're at the drive-thru? What does every woman say? You say, "What? Well, would you like something? No, I just have some of yours. No, you won't. I'll buy you 2 orders of fries. But you're not getting any of my fries. And the fries that fall in the bottom of the bag are mine too. So point number one is deal with a selfish heart. I don't know if that's directed just to the men or to all of us, all right? Here's number two. Deal with a grieving heart. Grieving heart. Now he's talking about money. He's talking about giving. Verse 10. You shall surely give to him. Give to him. And your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing, watch, for this thing, giving with the right heart, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works. That's amazing. And in all to which you put your hand. If you learn to give from the heart with the right heart, God will bless you in everything you do. That's what he just said. See, we need to understand this is a heart issue, but selfishness attacks us before we give, and grief attacks us after we give. You ever given a large amount or made a commitment and then something breaks? And the enemy comes immediately and says, see, you shouldn't have done that. He comes in. And grief, because we gave. Now, I'm sitting here. Here I am preaching this message, and I had this thought just go through my mind. And after 30 years of preaching, I ought to know to just let the thought go on by. But here's the thought I had. I just thought to myself, I'm going out to eat after the service, and I don't have any cash. I just had that thought just go through my mind. I'm just, wow, look, $100. Okay, I'm going to start saying those thoughts more often. Okay, no, let's talk about that for a minute, all right? Why, when I said I don't have any cash, why did David get up that fast and give it to me? Let me tell you why. Because I gave it to him before the service. It's my $100. Okay, now, he's not grieving that he gave. You're not grieving. Oh, you are a little? No, he's not grieving because, why? Because it was mine. See, the reason that we grieve after we give is because we thought it was ours. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So when we give back to God what is already His, then we don't grieve over it. So deal with a grieving heart. Here's number three. Develop a generous heart. Develop a generous heart. Look at verse 14. You shall supply him liberally, generously from your flock. Watch, from your threshing floor and from your winepress. Now watch this. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. God wants us to be generous. We were born selfish. We are born again generous. We just have to renew our minds. You think about it. You really want to be generous. Now, we read Luke 6 a moment ago. If we were to go back and read the context again and back up a little more, and we're not going to do that right now, but you can do that. You go back to around verse 30. Here's what it says. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes your coat, give him this too. And it's just the whole context is lend to people, even hoping not to receive anything in return. What he's doing is dealing with the heart. It's the first thing we have to try to teach our children. I want you to think about that. What do you have to try to teach your children that is so hard to teach your children? Share. Share. No, we share. And what happens? A little neighbor boy comes over to play, and the neighbor boy picks up a toy. What does your boy do? Drops the toy he's playing with, runs over and says, I was playing with that. Right? And the neighbor boy says, okay, so he goes over and picks up something else. Your boy runs over. I was playing with that too. Do you realize what God is saying to all of his children? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to become like your father that's so loved that he gave? You know, I heard a story of my son Josh and daughter-in-law Hannah told me a while back. They have two children, Grady, who's 7, and Willow, who's 4. And they got in the car. Hannah picked them up from church. And Willow said, Mommy, did you know that there was a woman in the Bible that only had 2 pennies and she gave both of them to God? And Hannah said, yeah, that's a wonderful story. And Willow said, I want to give something to God. So Hannah said, well, pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to give. And so you could see her. She closed her eyes. Hannah was watching her in the mirror. You know, she closed her eyes. She did like this. And then she said, what? And then she said, little baby? No, not little baby. Oh, Betty baby. Oh, yeah, you can have Betty, baby. I don't like her. Okay, that's cute. That's kids learning about giving. But at some point, you got to grow up. Some point, you say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And you say, that's great. That's what I'll do. So we want to develop a generous heart. Here's number 4. Develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. Back in Deuteronomy 15, look at verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Then he says this, therefore I command you this thing today. You know what he's saying? I command you to be generous. I'm commanding you. And you know on the authority that I'm commanding you is that everything you have came from me. You need to remind yourself every now and then that you are slaves. You know, every now and then I get a reminder. I leaned over to John and to David right before I came up and told them, because it happened to me yesterday. It was hard going to sleep last night. I knew the enemy was trying to attack me too because this series was beginning. But Debbie got an email from a friend of ours we went to high school with, and she said, you know, loved the first conference, watched on the internet, all this, but hate to bring bad news, but we've lost two more of our class members. She named two guys, both guys I did drugs with. One of the guys I started on drugs. And one of the guys died from a drug overdose, and another guy committed suicide. And I'm lying there last night thinking, thank you, God, for redeeming my life out of that, for redeeming me from that type of a lifestyle. These guys now, 35 years since high school, and still, what a horrible life they must have had for 35 years. Thank you, God. You know, the Lord just reminds me, it's not hard for me to give. You understand? I didn't have anything. I was a slave. You didn't have anything either. No matter what you had, you didn't have anything if you didn't have Christ. A while back, a pastor and his wife had heard me share our testimony on giving. And in this series, I'll share our testimony on giving. And by God's grace, Debbie and I have been able to give like many cars to people. We were able to give our first home away. We've just been able to give very extravagantly, and we love to do that. And I shared that testimony in the church, and we went to dinner with this pastor and his wife, and the wife said to Debbie, I have a question for you. And both of us knew the question because we've heard it many times. She said, how did you feel when your husband said he wanted to give away your house? And Debbie said, I felt great. I felt great. She said, you have to remember that Robert and I were married before he got saved. And every time he's wanted to give something extravagantly, I think, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my new husband. And then the pastor asked her a question she'd never been asked. He said, why do you think that Robert is so generous? And I'm not trying to set myself up as an example. I know many, many people are very generous. But he said, why do you think that, I mean, he just has given so extravagantly, retirement, savings, all these things over the years. Why do you think he's so generous? And a tear came down her cheek, and she said, because he's never gotten over getting saved. He's never forgot where he came from. And he knows that everything we have came from the Lord.
Well, some great teaching from Robert Morris. Man, it just struck me so powerfully when I listened to that of God gave us that gift of giving for our sake to teach us. And it shows us where our treasure is. And if you came to my house, it wouldn't take you long to say, wow, Wayne has a lot of history books. He must love that. And I used to say in our early marriage, Carol, if I could just have one more book, I think I'd be satisfied. And after about 5 years, she's like, no. And we're building giant bookcases now to hold them. You would realize that. You know, there's a couple of old recreational boat stuff that shows my heart. There's some new power tools that show, you know, my heart. Man, where we spend our money, where we do that, shows a lot about us. It just demonstrates our trust, our dependence on God. It demonstrates that we're thankful for those powerful things that Robert just said of are recognizing all God has done for us and that we can have grateful hearts to give back to him. For those that are regular attenders and here all the time, you'll notice in the bulletin there's new little envelopes, and they're called worship envelopes because what greater ways of us to worship to God than to be giving what he has. There's some verses that kind of explain that of what giving and tithing is. Inside the envelope for you to read sometime, there are 6 different ways that you can be able to give to the ministry here through your phone, through your computer, through your credit or debit card, by writing a check, and even by putting cash in here. Those are all things. You know, we never pass a plate here in the church. There's a box out there. Those are those ways. But we just ask for those that are regularly here just as you start this new year, first of all, we're really grateful and thankful for all the support that comes and recognizes that for the people that are here this morning, you are the ones that are supporting that. But just be praying of what God would have you do, because we believe the vision that God has given us, he wants us to continue. But it's going to take more of our time, talent, and treasure for that to be fulfilled today. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for Robert Morris. I thank you for the way that you've transformed his life. I thank you for the great gifts you've given him of unlocking your scripture and doing that with both humor and yet with power, Father. I thank you that it just reminds me of how grateful I need to be for the way that you have redeemed my life and you've blessed my life. And I pray that you'd give me a heart that just says each day, God, I'm alive, and I thank you for it. And as my feet hit the floor today, what do you want me to be doing with my time, with my talents, with my treasure for the good of your kingdom? And so I pray that you'll continue the great work of this church. Thank you for the blessing of letting me to be a part of it and a part of this great group of people with their heart for you. Bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.